full display our banners, and the Lord by prayers all fulfil. Now know I, God, his king doth save. He from his holy heaven will hear him, with the saving strength by his own right hand given. In chariots some put confidence, some horses trust upon. But we remember well the name of our Lord God alone. We rise and upright stand when they are bowed down and fall. Deliver, Lord, and let the king us hear when we do call. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his own holy word. And unto him be the praise and all of the glory. Let us turn now to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. And we want to take as our text this evening, verse 2, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. An end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. As you know, we're looking through the book of Ezekiel. We're looking at some of the main portions from this prophecy. There was a man many years ago, and he had an ambition that he wanted to play in an orchestra. And he particularly wanted to play in this prestigious orchestra in front of the king. And he wanted to be a part of this orchestra. The trouble was, he had no music. He didn't play any instrument. But he was a wealthy man, and he was a man of some influence. And the conductor of the orchestra agreed that he could become a part of the orchestra, so they gave him a flute. And whenever the orchestra played, he blew up his cheeks and he started playing with his fingers, but of course he wasn't playing any tune, because he couldn't play the flute. There he was in the orchestra, and he played in that orchestra for 2 years. He was in that orchestra for 2 years. And it was only when, after 2 years, that another conductor came in. And the conductor wanted to listen to every individual person in that orchestra. And he said that anybody that didn't attain a certain standard would be out. Of course, this put this man into some kind of a problem. He pretended, first of all, to be ill, but the doctor said that there was nothing wrong with him. And he had to go, and he had to, what was called, face the music. And it is from that man's experience that you get the term today, we face the music. He had to go and face the music. In other words, he had to go and play, and of course he couldn't play, and he was found out. And he was cut out. The thing is that he was a fake. And in God, in Ezekiel's day, that describes really what Israel was like in many respects. They went through all the motions. They went through all the outward things that were demanded of them, but they weren't truly God's people. They were just like this man in the orchestra, playing what looked like the flute, but yet there was no music. There are sadly many today in Christian churches, and they are also just like this man. They're not truly musicians. They're not truly what they're supposed to be. And the trouble is that for Israel in Ezekiel's day, there came a day when they had to face the music. They had to face God, because God would now judge them. And they would have to face the consequences of their actions. And so it is with each one of us this evening. The day will come when we too will be brought before the Lord on the day of judgment. And every man will be judged according to the deeds done in the body. Ezekiel was living in a day of great political unrest. As we have already seen, Assyria as a force is now waning quite considerably. And Babylon is coming and overtaking them. Babylon is now the rising power, while Assyria is waning in power. Necho the second in Egypt, he rises up against them. Josiah joins him. Unfortunately for Josiah, Josiah is killed in battle. Jehoahaz takes over as king, and he only lasts for 3 months. Jehoiakim, he comes in, and he joins with Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, by this time, is the king in Babylon. He now becomes the servant of Nebuchadnezzar. The difficulty is, when Egypt come again, he chooses the wrong side. He now rebels against Nebuchadnezzar, and he loses, and he is cast out. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar comes down and carries away 10,000 Jews into captivity, one of whom is Ezekiel. Ezekiel is now in along with the Jews, are now in captivity. They are taken away down into captivity in Babylon. And how can you sing the Lord's song in such a place? They're in captivity. And as we've seen, there are those who are there who are saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. The message that Ezekiel is bringing here is a message that's not popular. It's a message of God's judgment. It's a message that says that Jerusalem will be destroyed. Of course, that doesn't go down well, does it? Because there are those who say, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about judgment. We don't want to hear these things about judgment. We'll go back to Jerusalem and all will be well. But Ezekiel is saying the judgment day is coming. He is giving a warning. And my friend in 586, that's exactly what happens. Jerusalem is razed to the ground. Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. But they wouldn't listen. The warning is given. Judgment is coming. And who wants to listen to that? And so it is even today, that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord, words of our Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, the Lord speaks about these things. And in verse 42, he says, that gives the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field. Hid in a field. And that the parable of the tares, the sower soweth the good seed of the word. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And what's going to happen to the tares? What's going to happen to the children of the wicked one that are sown in the field? It says, they shall be cast into a furnace of fire, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they shall gather them out of the kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. He's speaking about hell. He's speaking about the judgment day. The Lord Jesus himself speaks about that day. Remember how when he looked over Jerusalem, and the disciples came to him and asked him, what did he mean about the temple and the destruction of the temple, that one stone wouldn't be left standing upon another? And what about the end of the world? And Jesus tells them that the day is coming when Jerusalem would be razed to the ground, it would be destroyed, and at the end of the day, that Christ himself would return. and he all would be brought into judgment. But there is a judgment day. My friend, that's not a very popular message, is it? As I think I mentioned to you before, I heard one preacher saying, you shouldn't preach about hell unless you've got a tear in your eye. Unless you have a tear in your eye, you shouldn't be preaching about God's judgment or hell or anything else. My friend, I don't preach hell and God's judgment day because I've got a tear in my eye. We preach about hell because the Bible tells us that is there. You preach about the judgment day, you preach about the day that all will be brought to give an account before the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are told, thus saith the Lord. And think, look at the beginning. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end has come upon the four corners of the land. Ezekiel is preaching it. No doubt feeling it, but, and when you read down what he says, he's no doubt feeling it, but at the same time he is preaching it, because it is the Lord that has said it to him. And my friend, the Lord says it to every one of us this evening. There is a judgment day yet to come. Well, how does he describe this here? And as you read down it, there are in fact five things that he says is coming. Five things are coming, according to Ezekiel. Five things, and we want to look at each of these five things this evening in turn. And the first of them is, an end cometh. An end cometh. Look at in verses 2, 3 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end cometh upon thee. And in verse 6, an end is come. The end is come. He's forewarning them that an end cometh. Just as the way there were those in Noah's day, and for 120 years, he's saying an end is coming. God's judgment is coming upon the land. An end cometh. Now they may flatter themselves that they're looking to the end, and they're flattering themselves, and they're saying, when is the end of our troubles? When is it that the end of the troubles will come? They're flattering themselves that the day will come where God will come and he will deliver them out of their misery. But Ezekiel said there is an end coming. How often have the children of Israel been warned from the Lord that there was a day coming? This wasn't the first time. How many of the prophets had the Lord sent to Israel, warning them that judgment was coming? Prophet after prophet, Jeremiah has been preaching. Zephaniah, that we saw a few weeks ago, he was preaching. And the message was the same. The judgment was coming. An end was coming. God's patience with them would run out. And there was an end that would come to this time. My friend, God may be slow, but God is sure. And he's saying here to the children of Israel, an end is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the children of Israel in his own day, and he said to them, the end is coming. The day would come where there would not be one stone left standing upon another in this place. Why? Because the end has come. God's long suffering with them had run out. And my friend, so it is that he tells us today that the end is coming. The day will come where Jesus Christ will return to this world. And the end will come. He will wrap all things up as a vesture. Everything will be folded up and all things will come to an end. And look at how universal that is. Thou son of man, this an end has come upon the four corners of the land. It wouldn't just be one part of the land. We saw that last week. It would be the mountains. It would be the plains. It would be Jerusalem. It would be all of the corners of the land would be drawn in. Here would be universal judgment upon God's people in that day. It would reach to the four corners of the land. My friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it will reach to the four corners of the earth. Every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess. Every tongue shall confess. It was as though the end was watching them. What it says in verse 6, an end is come, the end is come. It watcheth for thee, behold, it is come. It's as if the end was watching for them to see at what point the end would transpire. It was as though the end itself was like a person. It's watching you. Time passes by, doesn't it? Time, every day passes by, one day after another day. Time seems to fly on you. You seem to be, one minute you're a young person running about, next minute you're into your teens, then the next minute you're in your 20s, you're at work and all that. Time flies by. But it's as though time here was watching, and time was preparing for the end. And that's where time is taking us. The world makes all its plans, and the world thinks that you know, everything will go on as it is, everything will continue on as it is, but time is watching, because time will come to an end. There's a time appointed. An end is appointed. But you remember how we saw last week, or a fortnight ago, how the prophet was to get his hair and cut off all his hair, and then he was to chop it up. One of it was to be burnt, some of it was to be burnt up. Some was going to be burnt with a sword, some was going to be cast into the fire, some was going to be scattered to three bits, wasn't it? Some was going to be scattered to the wind, but he says, take a small amount of it and put it in your skirts. Put it in the hem of your skirt. He said, there'd be a remnant that would be kept. Even in the midst of this, there was a remnant. In chapter 6, in the previous chapter, he says, yet I will leave me a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among you. You see, God always has his remnant. God always has those who are according to the election of grace. God always has his people. And my friend, in the judgment day, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will have his people. He will gather them in from all the four corners of the earth. Isn't that a wonderful day? Imagine that. When the graves themselves will open and God's people will arise out of the graves. And we'll be told then that we'll be surprised as who are to be there with the Lord. We'll be surprised when these graves open who it is that are with the Lord. And you know, we'll be surprised who's not. Just as the Lord says that. But you see, he will gather them from all the corners of the earth. He has a remnant. He has his own people. But the judgment day, the end that's appointed, it was appointed for Israel that Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Babylonians. It was appointed as a precursor to the final destruction, which was the destruction by the Romans in 70 AD when they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And both of them are but precursors to the final judgment when Christ returns. The end cometh. But let us look at the second thing. It's not just the end cometh. He says, thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, an end cometh. But look at verse 5. This saith the Lord God, an evil cometh. Behold, an evil, an only evil, behold, has come. Now the word evil there is not meaning morally evil. You've got moral evils. This is this is not so much a moral evil as affliction and misery. That's what's going to come upon them. Affliction and misery. And he says, an end has come. The end has come. And thus saith the Lord, an evil, an only evil. There is one evil that's come, one misery that's going to come. It's as though the Babylonians coming down upon them, it was like one evil, one misery. Of all the miseries that they had in the world, of all the things that were trying to them, of all the afflictions that they had, none of them would compare to what God was now going to do in bringing judgment upon them. There was one that it was going to be unique. You see how he says that? Didn't he say that earlier on in chapter 5 and at verse 9? He says, behold, I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations. You see, the judgment that was coming was like one evil. It was unique. It was going to be a unique event. When the Babylonians came down and destroyed Jerusalem, it was going to be a unique event. When the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple for good, it was a unique event. Something that the Lord would not do again, had not done before that. It was unique. And my friend, when the Lord comes to judge the quick and the dead, it is an absolutely unique event. Something that he's never done before. And he will do it once, when he will gather all the ends of the earth before his Son Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. And he will judge the world by his Son Jesus Christ. That will be unique, my friend. A unique event. They will raise up out of the graves. They will come before him on that judgment day. And he will be the judge. What a unique event is going to take place. And it says here as well, he says, it says of it, thus saith the Lord God, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. In other words, there's to be no mercy involved in this judgment. You see, when God deals with men today, how restrained the Lord is, isn't he? The sun rises upon the just and the unjust. The rain falls down. The Lord provides even for the godless. Even today, for those who raise their fist against the Lord, he provides for them every day. But on this day, when the Lord would deal with Israel, it would be only evil, only misery. For the Lord's people, when they go through trials of tribulation, and when they go through times of trouble, the Lord can bless even that to them. The Lord's people can say, it was good for me that I was afflicted. It draws us closer to the Lord. When the Lord afflicts his people, there is mercy in it. Not only does he bring the affliction, but he brings the grace to deal with whatever need there is. But if you want to see only evil, in other words, only misery, then go to the cross. What do you find at the cross? You find these words crying from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because there he is suffering and there is no comfort from the Father. In hell there is no comfort. In hell there is no mitigation of the evil. It is only evil. It is judgment. It is God's wrath that is now being poured out, nothing else. So, the end cometh. An evil cometh. But the next thing you discover is that there's a day cometh. A day cometh. It's described as a morning cometh. It says here in verse 7, the morning is come, unto thee, O thou that dwellest in love. The time has come. The day of trouble has come. It's not just the end has come. It's not just an evil has come. It's the day has come. It's as if he's saying, here is a new day. The sun is beginning to rise upon this earth. But this is not like any other day. This day will be like no other day, because it's a day of God's judgment. The time has come. Up until this time, the children of Israel had suffered many afflictions. But now was going to be a day when God would bring judgment upon them. It's a time appointed. It's the time appointed. And you remember, it reminds you, does it not, of the words in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And it's Acts chapter 17. And you read these words in verse 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, there was a day appointed when Jerusalem would be brought to destruction. The Babylonians rising up as a great and mighty power wasn't some accident of history. It's God's appointing. This is the instrument that God would use to bring his judgment upon the children of Israel in Ezekiel's day. There was a day appointed in the 70 AD when Rome would rise up and come down and destroy Jerusalem. But my friend, there is an appointed day when this world, the judge of this world, will come. He will return. And it is a day. You see how it's a day that's been appointed. There is a day in this world where the sun will rise up, and that will be the last day. That will be the final day. Everything else will come to a stop. Whatever people are doing, whatever people are employed at, whatever they are engaged in, all will come to a stop. That day will be the last day. And Christ will return. I don't know when that day is. No man knows what day that is. But that's the last day. That is the day when Christ will return and he will judge. And that day that Ezekiel is speaking about here, it was a day that was near at hand. Look what he says. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near. And not the sounding again of the mountains. It's as though he's speaking then the last part. Not as though the sounding of the mountains. If you go into the mountains and you shout, you get an echo back, don't you? You can shout into a valley and you get an echo back. But it disappears. It means nothing. He says this warning's not like that. This is near. It's not like an echo. It's the very word of God. And he says the day of judgment is near. And today we are told that the day of judgment is nearer than when we first believed. The day of judgment is nearer than when the day we were first born into this world. However old you may be, whatever age you are, that's the age that's nearer to this day, the end of the world. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, 60, 70 years old, if you're 70 years old, you are 70 years nearer the day of judgment than the day when you were born into this world. He was warning them that that day cometh. So an end cometh. An evil cometh. The day cometh. And what's the next thing that he says? Destruction cometh. Look what he says in verse 25. Verse 25. Destruction cometh. And they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. You see, on this day, it's a day of God's wrath. the children of Israel were going to experience something of God's wrath, there would be no mercy, no pity on that day. But notice, it's a day of destruction, but it's a day when righteous judgment would be executed. Look at verse 9. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, according to thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. You see, when the Lord will judge, he will judge righteous judgment. Those who are in Christ, their sins are forgiven. They're the remnant. There's a remnant that will escape. There is a remnant. There is always a remnant of those who are his. And by his grace and by his mercy, they are saved. Paul spoke of that this morning, didn't he? When we spoke about in 1 Corinthians, I am by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what the apostle was. By the grace of God, he was a Christian. Because he was a Christian that he didn't do anything. But because he was a Christian, this is what he did. He labored more than any other because he knew what it was to have many sins forgiven. Therefore, he labored more than any of the other apostles because he knew what it was to be forgiven of his sins. And then, when he labored, he didn't do it in his own strength. It was by the grace of God accompanying him. Now, you see, the Lord will judge righteous judgment. We often see in, you know, man's view of things, man's verdict on things, you know, can be wrong. Our assessment of things can be wrong. Our assessments of who someone is can be wrong. Our assessment even of ourselves can be wrong. But the Lord will never make any wrong assessment. It will be according to their sins that those in Ezekiel's day would be judged according to thine abominations, according to what you have done. And notice, this judgment is from the Lord. It's not from Ezekiel. It's not even from the Babylonians. It's from the Lord. Verse 3, now is the end come upon thee, I will send mine anger upon thee. I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee unto thee all thine abominations. Sins that they didn't even know they were committing. Sins that they had long forgotten. The Lord was going to come in his fury. My friend, think of, not even of ourselves, think of what it is to be in this building this evening and to be sheltering under the blood of Jesus Christ. What protection, isn't it? To be sheltering under the blood of Jesus Christ and in this building this evening. And there are people passing in cars. There are people walking past this building. There are people over there and they don't even know who Jesus Christ is. And the judgment day is coming. Ah, my friend, how we ought to be sheltering under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when you think of it, it's the Lord that is coming. And none shall escape. None shall escape. And those that even do escape out of Jerusalem, what a miserable life they've got. Because their conscience will be upon them. Even those who escape, it's as though he's saying to them, what benefit is them for escaping at this point in time? Because they will go and they will be miserable. They'll be like Cain. God's judgment upon Cain. Finally, mischief cometh. Look at what it says in verse 26. Mischief shall come upon mischief. Mischief will come upon mischief. Israel knew what it was for Babylon to come and destroy her. Ultimately, in 70 AD, Israel knew what it was to have Rome destroy the temple. And where were they going to go? They had no vision, and the priests didn't even have the law. When Christ came, there was no vision. And that's what it says here. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumour shall be upon rumour. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and counsel from the ancients. They'll all perish. They had nowhere to turn, you see. Mischief, judgment had come upon them. And my friend, what's true of Israel in many respects can be true of any nation that has known the blessings of the Lord. A nation that has known the blessings of the Lord and yet turns away from it, the way Israel has turned away from the blessings of the Lord, are inviting God's judgments to come upon them. And they will know, he says, that I am the Lord. They will know, he says, that I am the Lord. They will know in the judgment that I am the Lord. How often does he say that? That's how he ends the chapter. I will judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. How will they know he's the Lord? Because of the judgment he brings. And how wonderful it is when Paul comes to write in the Romans. How do they know? In Romans chapter 14, you notice here in verse 11, he says something very similar. He says something very similar. But why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what happens when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. They shall know, and they will give an account, and they shall know that he is the Lord. The children of Israel would come to know that he is the Lord in his judgment, that the Lord wasn't for them, the Lord was against them. There was a man, Dennis Lee Curtis, and he was a thief. He stole things, and in 1992 he was arrested for stealing. And when the police arrested him, they found a leaflet in his wallet. Certain rules that he would abide by as a thief. You know, even among thieves, there's honour among thieves. And this man said that he would not take anybody, and this is in America, that anybody that had food stamps, he would never touch that. He would steal, and he would steal from the rich, but he would maybe give to the poor. If he was being chased by the police on foot, he would run to get away, but if he was in a car, he wouldn't put anybody's life at risk, so he would just give himself up. He had a whole list of 10 or 12 things that were very commendable. And the police read all this, all these rules that he had, as a thief. And he went before the court, and you know what happened to his rules? His rules were thrown in the bin. They meant nothing. He had broken the law. He thought by these rules that somehow his conduct would be excused. And that's the way men are, isn't it? So if people are, I'm good to my neighbour, I'll help my neighbour, I'll do all the rest of it. The trouble is, it's the wrong standard they're looking at. They're like this man with a few rolls in his pocket that actually mean nothing. He was sentenced as a thief. Didn't matter what rules he went by, he was still a thief. A thief was a thief. Doesn't matter what rules he tried to obey, he was a thief. And so it is that when we come in the judgment day before the Lord, a sinner is a sinner. Doesn't matter what rules we try to think that we can, or imagine for ourselves, that we can keep the law by these certain rules that we make up ourselves. No. A sinner's a sinner. It's God's rules. And when you see what Ezekiel says here with regards to the judgment day that was coming upon the children of Israel, the end cometh. An evil cometh. The day cometh. The destruction cometh. Mischief cometh. My friend, that's just but a precursor. to the day that Christ will arrive, will come back. There is an end coming. There is a day coming. There is destruction coming. There is mischief coming. Are we ready for that day? Are we safe in Christ? Think of what it is to be in Christ. The destruction that's coming, and yet it is diverted to another. And he takes it on behalf of his people. He pays the price that his people were due to pay. So that as he there takes that upon himself, my friend, there is no destruction. There is no end coming. There is a beginning coming. And it's the beginning of glory. There's no evil coming. It's all been taken away. There is a day coming. But it's the day of Christ's glory. There's destruction coming. But not for God's people. There is mischief coming. But not for those who are in Christ. My friend, you are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. But if you're not in Christ, my friend, what confronts every sinner? As though he was playing, but he was a fake. He couldn't play the flute at all. And the day came where he had to face the music. We might go to church, we might go through all these things, but my friend, the only thing that is safe is for us to be in Christ, to be trusting in him alone, and in him there is no day of destruction. There is the day of glory when he says to his people, come, enter into the glory that I have prepared for you. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy to us. We pray that thou would enable us this day to recognize that here we have no continuing city. Here we have no place that we will remain, but the day will come when we will leave everything behind. And what do we have? Oh Lord, we thank thee for the hope that the gospel gives, the hope that Christ gives.